So you are in Buddhist Meditation 101. It's like saying you're going to Cincinnati. Make sure you're not in the wrong flight. And welcome. Does everybody know where the bathrooms are? Right on the corner. And you can be really loose here. You can feel free to come and go. Don't feel like you have to maintain any seriousness. So get up and get some water if you need to. Come back in. If your legs get cranky, just get up and move to the chairs and go back and forth. It's fine. In Tibet, they get up and go all the time, so let's pretend we're there. So I'm Jill Marie. This is my first time to teach Meditation 101, so I'm very excited to be here. And thank you guys for coming. I'm going to show you some of the books. Dan, does everybody know the website that you go to? And have you seen your handouts? Does anybody know that you simply, what does it look like on there? Would you look for the class, maybe under spiritual program? Okay. And they'll look like that. So you'll be printing that out tonight, I'm sure, so you can start practicing. And then on the handout, I wonder if that's on there. So I'll show you the books and tell you, so if you want to jot them down, you can. The first one I couldn't find in our bookstore, but it's called What is Meditation? I haven't read that one yet. So that's by Rob Nairn, N-A-I-R-N, What is Meditation? And the only two they referenced, I brought two of my favorites. Kathleen McDonald, that's been loved on. So this is pretty much the most famous book I think we have about meditation. So How to Meditate, Kathleen McDonald. Takes you through lots of samples. So this one includes meditations, which is really lovely. I thought this was fascinating. This is The Joy of Living by, I haven't even heard anybody say his name, so Yonge Minya Rinpoche. So you can look at these later if you'd like to. The reason I like this is because it's a lot about the brain and the mind. So if you want the science of meditation, if that really appeals to you about how you can change your brain and what it's all about, then this is a really good book. I use this when I teach courses. And then a gentleman that came here, I don't know if any of you got to check him out, Karuna Caton. Did anybody happen to? Were you here for that? So he wrote Misleading Mind. I think pretty sure that's it. And that was, I didn't read the book, but the lecture was just wonderful. It was a whole weekend. So I couldn't find it in a bookstore, but it's available on Amazon. So those are the books. And our bookstore is a great source for all kinds of books. And if you're willing to, if you want to purchase afterwards, I can help you out with that. It is self-serve, like a salad bar, so you can go check it out. You can use your own credit card and the machine. There's instructions to tell you how to do it, put your money in the envelope or the receipt. So you can take care of all that yourself. So as we start, let's make sure the cell phones are on meditate as well before we start. And nothing like having buzzing going off in the middle. And we said the bathrooms. So I know when Dave started, he made a little reference. See, I'm looking at you now. I'm always the one sitting here. But you're looking at all of that. So it can be a little daunting if you haven't done this before. So just before, we're not going to talk about it, but I'd like you to just have an open mind to saying that everything you see up here is for your mind. That's what we're going to be working on. But if it's a little odd for you to see all this iconography and all the religious paraphernalia, that it is about for your mind. There's reasons that everything we have, they're mostly for meditation. So keep an open mind about that. At least it's a beautiful backdrop here. So we were chatting in the class, Roger, and what's your name?
Barbara.
About DB. So if you aren't familiar with that, DB is a Discovering Buddhism class, and it's a two-year course. And so when you're finished with this, you can either move on to Buddhism in a Nutshell, which is great, five-week course that gives you everything about Buddhism, like it's like taking a pill. And then those are going on simultaneously, so it would be Meditation 101, Buddhism in a Nutshell, another series of this, Buddhism in a Nutshell. But always going on is Discovering Buddhism. So it just goes straight through the past, and it's an incredible course if you're really interested in delving deeper. So I just want to put a plug in for that. So I'll just give you a quick introduction about me, and then we'll move on. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. Just had the Derby, I think, a couple days ago. And my background is I was raised Lutheran, so everybody always wants a point of reference. It doesn't really mean anything, but it does in a lot of ways. I was raised Christian and left that when I was 24. So over half my life, I've practiced mostly nothing in between there, just kind of practiced being kind, you know, which is what we're still practicing. And then in 86, I started taking yoga. So I think that was probably my foray into Eastern thought, because there's certainly a lot of Hindu teachings, not really teachings, but a lot of understanding a different thought than what I had been raised, which was very difficult for me, but it infiltrated. So, and now I've taught yoga for over 15 years, so it stuck, I guess. And then I've lived in Raleigh since 98, so I've been here for a while. That's my daughter, but I'm not allowed to say that. And Miranda, she's my sidekick over there. And my business is I teach meditation and yoga, and I organize for some people. And so I do all those three things for your home, your body, and mind, because when one's out of order, which is might be why you're here, you want to learn how to calm your mind down a little bit, then the rest might need some work too, because they all work together. So that's what I do every day is yoga, meditation, and organization. And so I wanted to tell you about my meditation experience because I think it might be really beneficial to say that I led meditation and just sat meditation. You know, if you've done yoga, Shavasana, you guys familiar with the end of a yoga class. And I just really thought it was about emptying your mind, having nothing in your mind. So for goodness sake, like 25 years or more, or, you know, besides what I've been practicing now, I thought you were supposed to just like, you know, didn't work. And so I felt like I was trying really hard and unsuccessful, so I really thought that I couldn't do it. And I hear that so often, but I want to offer that to you to say, if you've thought that, then we're going to bust that myth. What's that called? Mythbusters. It's our favorite show. So it's not really what it's about, because it's a mind, so it's going to think, you know? And you're not trying to get it to stop thinking, you're just trying to get it to control and have some space in between the thoughts and learn that kind of thing. So if that's beneficial, if that's all you get, we're ahead. I met the teachings in 2008. You'll hear that little coin phrase, I met the teachings. And I started in, who was sitting right there? She moved. I started in, I went to Philadelphia in Bethlehem, which is funny to say. Went to Bethlehem for the teachings. And the Dalai Lama was talking, and I just kind of ended up there. It was weird. So I got 6 days of teachings. And I didn't even know what anything was. So it was like jumping into the deep end. And so I came back and just started reading really simple things and then started practicing here. So that's how I started, which is kind of unusual. I've been a member here ever since. So we're going to do introductions for you guys. And I'd like you to do just one thing, like I know your name's Emily. So if you would say, I'm Emily, and then when you get to maybe who comes next, you would say, hi, Emily, so that you kind of just hear your name a little bit more than once. And just say your name and basically why you came, but keep it nice and brief.
My name is Emily, and I came because I had gotten a book about running with the mind of meditation. And he talks about the importance of having a teacher. I mentioned it to my yoga teacher, and she said, oh, there's Siddhanta Center. And so I found out about this, and it just timed out perfectly. But a couple weeks later, this class was started.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, she'll have to start then.
Hi, Emily. I'm from and I found out about this through my brother's girlfriend, and I just thought it would be interesting to come to that.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm Erin. I just finished the nutshell class and okay. I don't like meditating. I don't like home, so I'm here to figure out why I need to do it.
Good. Mike over there.
I'm Barbara, and I'm just interested in learning the Buddhist path. My family, and I have two children that are 9 and 13. We don't practice anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just interested in learning and using the principles to teach my children.
Awesome.
Something.
Good. Okay, second row here.
Hi.
Oh, we caught him. Barbara.
My name is Mike. I've been meditating off and on for the last couple of months, and I think I need more structure.
Okay.
And I want to learn more about Buddhism. I think it's some of the teachings are just fantastic. So,
good. Okay.
All right. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
My name is Sam. I'm here because I think meditation is interesting. I'd like to learn more about it.
Awesome. Here, you want to skip up here? Sign me up to that club. You left in the middle of our meditation. I wanted to talk to you afterwards. I can't say how happy I am to see you here. I know. And then he was gone when I turned around, so I'm really tickled that you're here. Good for you. What's your name? Coda. Great. Yeah. What's your name?
Seth.
Okay, Seth or PH, okay. So we have 5 weeks to have him calm, isn't it? Okay. Yep. Breathing good, okay. Oh, that's new, right? We haven't heard breathing yet, right? Okay, Holy Grail. Okay.
I made a resolution as part of my self-service resolution that May was going to be my month's focus on meditation.
Good. And you didn't say January, that's cool. You said May.
Well, I have a different one every day.
Oh, awesome. Come on in, don't worry. Let's see, Roger, Ben, okay, in the back. Yeah, that's the mystery. Okay, so the two new folks, hey. Are you the two I emailed by any chance? No, okay. So then your name is Katie, so then you would just say hi, Katie, and tell it, and then say your name and why you're here. A little more, okay.
Hi, I'm Bianca.
Bianca?
And I've never done meditation before, but I wanted to learn how to do it.
Okay, good. We've got Brian hiding in the back, and we know why he's here. Thank you, Brian. Miranda, do you want to say why you're here? Oh, I made you come, that's right. Okay. Thank you, that was great. So we've got a little bit of everything. Mostly, I guess, we're going to try to calm the mind. So no small task there. Okay, So we're going to start off real simple, and we're not even going to go through the sitting posture just yet. We are going to actually do that tonight, but we're going to start off with just be comfortable. So it's we take it really slow. So if at this point you already are uncomfortable in the cushion, you can move, you can add a cushion, that kind of thing. We'll talk about more later. So you can just gently close your eyes. And you want to consider this like just being real gentle with yourself and not applying any self-talk or any judgment. So just for the first one, just be really nice and loose about it. And a very important thing is you can't do it wrong. So just no judgment. It's going to be a real important way to handle that. And we'll begin. I'm just going to read the format that's been given to me. All right, here we go. So get your wiggles out and we'll begin. Focus your attention on your breathing and just breathe naturally. Have your eyes naturally closed. Become present in the moment and place where you are. And just focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and the chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. Create an altruistic motivation for the meditation session. Think that you are meditating not just for your own individual benefit, but that you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be of benefit to all beings. And we have trained meditation. Focus your attention on your physical body. Find the most suitable sitting position for meditation with your spine straight, a position in which you can be aware and awake, but not stiff or rigid. Focus your attention on the lowermost point of your body, where your body is in contact with the earth. And feel the substance and earthy character of your body. Concentrate for a moment on that contact, on the weight and substance of this physical form. You might think about gravity holding you here, and you can let go and sink into that gravity. Pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing here. Now slowly and mindfully move your attention upward through your body. Pay close attention to every aspect of your body. Your physical sensations. Note any areas of tension and relax them. Notice you might be able to let your body simply let go. Note sensations of coolness or warmth. Note places where one part of your body is touching another. Now move upward through your legs and your hips, your hands and your lap. Note the curves of your body's silhouette. Move upward through your belly, your waist, the shape of your arms. Continue to move upward, the rising and falling of your chest with your breathing. the curves of your shoulders. Keep moving upward slowly, mindfully. Pay attention, especially to your shoulders, your neck, and your jaw. Scan for tension, and then relax these areas. Move still upward the tilt of your head until you reach the crown of your head. Allow your attention to rest at the crown for a moment and pay attention to the character of your mind, your consciousness, while focusing here. Is your mind's character different while concentrating here than it was when you were focusing on the lowermost point of your body? And what differences can you note? Now slowly move your attention back downward through your body in the same way. Move slowly, mindfully, noting everything about your body as you move your attention back downward. Bring your attention all the way back down to the cushion of the floor where your body is in contact with the earth. And focus your concentration at this point. And note the character of your consciousness when focusing here. Again, note the nature of your mind state when concentrating here, and any differences from your mind state when concentrating at your crown. And then dedicate this positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Now, while you're very relaxed, we're going to move into the first meditation called counting the breaths. Keep your focus and your attention on your breathing still. Breathe naturally and just focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. Again, create another altruistic motivation for this session and think that you're not only meditating for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become wiser and kinder, able to be of benefit to all beings. Now let's start by focusing your attention at the opening of the nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel certain sensations as the air passes, as the small hairs move. Cooler sensations as you inhale, warmer as you exhale. Just get in touch with that movement. Don't even follow the air into your body or out into the surrounding environment. Simply place your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. Your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations only. As you inhale and exhale, mentally count each inhalation and exhalation together as one, counting from 1 to 10, simply concentrating on those sensations. When you reach 10, begin again at one. If your mind becomes distracted, if it wanders to other things and moves away from the point of concentration, then stop your counting and begin again at one. Even if you never get past two, it is not a problem. The point is to train your mind to focus on one point only. This concentration can take some time to practice to attain. If you gain some mastery over this technique, when you reach 10, you can count backwards from 10 to 1, and then from 1 to 10. This may help the focus of the wandering mind. It gives it something to focus on. And now dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Welcome back. You guys look a lot more relaxed. So, anybody get sleepy? No? Awesome, I usually get sleepy at this time of night. Okay, so we did two in a row. We learned. Come on in. Hi. And it's your turn to talk. So, how was that for everybody? So, they ask you to just share anything, any of your experiences, and mainly it's important that you know it's comfortable to say if it was difficult or if it was positive or, you know, to whatever extent it was for you. Because you're just acutely aware of your nostrils, right? Or your breathing. Yeah. Yeah. Or a word that you think sounds funny and all of it. Or, you know, just... Yeah, I think that's... I didn't anybody have that experience. It's pretty common to try something new and it feels like... I remember taking a diving class and I loved to dive. And all I did was go up, go down. You know, every pool all the time for years. So I took a diving class and all I could do was fall off the board. I would go one, two, three, and it was just, because I had done it so often, it was really difficult to do something different. And I'm guessing you've been breathing for a while. Chances are pretty high. But isn't that funny? It's just the mind, right? So do you feel like, did it start to calm down a little bit?
Not really. I mean, it would if I sort of my mind drifted away.
Yeah. Then you're breathing really naturally. And then you go, oh, yeah, what's the point? I forgot I'm supposed to, you know. Okay, thank you. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? You going to move to a chair? Oh, one more cushion. Good for you. Okay. Any other experiences? Okay.
How do you get the song in your head out of your head? The
metaphor song or the literal song?
The earworm. You know,
yeah, the earworm.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book about that now. It's... It can be a condition of your own specific... Your name again is not...
Larry.
You're Roger. Larry. So it can be a condition of Larry, you know, like you've got an earworm. But it is, you are doing the right thing by just trying to focus on something else. You know, you never want to get someone left the cake out in the rain and your mind is an earworm. It's really bad.
Any Neil Diamonds.
Yeah, so did it help at all? Did you have any sense of when you tried to focus on the breath it could stop?
No,
just... Oh, this is consistent in your life, yeah. Yeah, you can do some research on it. I have heard some people that got struck by lightning or had some traumatic event have had these experiences. Some people have tried to change it, morph it, and use it for the good instead of evil, right? Yeah, so we'll watch it at least together for 5 weeks. Well, you guys ask Larry, how's that song going? And he'll probably go, oh, man, there it is again. Well, it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of conditions for that. Roger, did you have a question?
Yeah, when I'm meditating or trying to meditate, different thoughts keep going. Should I continue doing the counting breath, or should I go straight into trying to picture something?
Like we were talking about single-pointed. So for this, we were talking the other day, so I know what he's referring to. For this one, you would definitely want to just do exactly what we're doing here. And, yeah, and it's not going to really be different, right? Julia, thoughts? They are just coming and going. Don used to say they're queuing up. Just when you think you got a little calm spot, they're just like, they're in line. So the main thing is to not follow the thought. So later, I'm not even sure if we're going to talk about it, but I think one thing that helped me is Venerable Robina talks about the story is a lie. That's my line. And it's a lie. So the thought arises. So let's just throw one out. One of your thoughts. Car. Okay, let's just say car. So I got to get the car inspected. I forgot. I can't pay our fee until we get the car inspected. You know, that rises up. And then what you want to do is take that, we pretty much all probably have that, take that off as a tangent, right? And then you go, well, when can I get it done? Do I have time in the morning? And it starts, right? So it kind of goes like that in a blossom. So what you want to do is the thought is one thing, and so separate the thought from the story. And see, the thoughts is just like, I mean, they're just rolling out. And here goes a story. And here goes the story. And then that story leads you to, you know, my wife's got the car. What am I going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. So separate. If you separate it out, you might find you just do car, zucchini. I forgot to get the tomatoes. And just give it, it's almost like a five-year-old that's going to go, mom, 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 mom. And if you say what, have you noticed that, like, I'll say what for another child because the mom's not paying any attention, and I'll go, can I help you with? But if you give that thought 1 second of noticing, I hear you, but I'm not going to buy into you. You know, does that help a little? Does that help everybody a little? Because I think we all do it. Single-pointed? Do that as a single-pointed concentration meditation specifically. I'm going to do single-pointed, and I'm sitting down to do that. And later we'll learn about when you're doing analytical, how you would apply that. But for now, just do the breathing as the breathing, because the breathing is your single-pointed concentration. I mean, the Buddha did breathing meditation. You know, I think we can handle it. Well, do that whenever, but do it at a separate time. So consider that meditation a different meditation. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that help?
And I think, too, like, if you're focusing on the breath, if you're focusing on counting, it's kind of hard to let other thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the middle of the breath, and you have the end of the breath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the
breath. Exactly.
It's not just the cool air and the warm air.
Mm-hmm.
It can,
And you have the spaces in between the breath, which is a really beautiful thing to do. Right.
Fall
pause. There's a lot there, but it is, I find it difficult. I don't mind admitting any of my problems with meditation. So when it's like when you're cutting a carrot, just cut a carrot. When you're doing counting the breath, just count the breath. And then you'll find you'll get good at it. You'll be able to multitask. You're like, yeah, now I can count the breaths and think about the car. And you'll go, no, wait a minute. You can convince yourself that, oh, I'm really doing successful meditation.
Forget your number. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Concentrating on the numbers.
Mm-hmm. The breath. And counting. Well, yeah, when you're doing counting, you're right. First we did breathing and then we did counting. Just focus on the counting. And then you can apply. You just want to stay right there because what you're trying to do is not multitask. You're trying to be different than your day and just do, I'm going to just do the breathing and just stay there. Barbara?
No, I've noticed what helps me is, and I don't, when I count, it's almost like at a ballpark. One!
Toot,
and that's all I hear, and the voices or the thoughts are just kind of like static back there.
Did you notice she didn't want to say voices in her head?
Yeah, the voices in her head.
Yeah.
The conversation that we all have is just, I don't notice it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the conversation slows down because
because
she's got the megaphone in her head.
I'm really, really concentrated.
So you found a technique. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to try all kinds of things in here. Are they just saying one? Oh, good. Well, they're not saying eat more French fries. They're saying one with you. So at least they're together, right? Yeah, it's going to morph and change so much, and then you'll even forget that was ever an issue. You know, it's just really going to, it all seems really amplified when your eyes are closed, doesn't it? It just seems like this, but everything's going to change, so allow it to be really impermanent. And for a trick's going to work right now, and then later, everything's going to be different, and you're going to need to ramp it up a little, or slow it down a little, you know, so it's all going to be different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about at the end about how to. Yeah. You had a question? Mm-hmm. Are you just acutely aware of it because you're quiet, you think? Mhm. Mhm. Which really is just another story. I mean, but the thing, that's what my mind does, is it grabs, it does something, whatever thing it's going to do. But it seems like it's okay when I'm meditating. Like, yeah, let's solve that problem. When he said that, and then I just work it, and then I realize I need to be on the breath. Do you find that your mind is just amazing? It can just convince you. So that sounds like you could, if you decided you wanted to do that type of meditation, then you could do that. But since you've decided you want to count, you're like, come back. Oh, I know what I was thinking about when a thought arises. So we decided to separate the thought from the story. So keep counting. If a thought arises, you don't have to start over like car. If you can let car just drift away. It's when you follow the story, then you want to go back and start over because you probably lost it. So, you know, if you can get some control, you'll realize that you have some control. And that's a really good thing when you see that point when you go, okay, car, move on. Anybody back have anything? All right, let's move on to the next thing. Okay, so this is the talking point part. Has anybody ever heard the word GOM before? G-O-M. Not G-U-M, but G-O-M. You've heard it, I know. So that is a Tibetan word. And this is, we're going to talk about this a lot and everything, every teaching I've ever been in, the word comes up. And so it's, we're going to, you'll take it at one level tonight, but I promise you it's going to be very rich as you understand what this means. So the word simply means familiarization. Doesn't sound like a lot right there. But the reason and the secret I want to give you tonight for 1990, is that if you can get that, if you can understand that meditation is just about becoming familiar with what's going on in your mind, then you're meditating. So as I said in the beginning, when I didn't think I was meditating because I was trying to get my squeeze my mind to make it stop thinking, I was actually meditating, but I was really just beating myself up and said I was a failure and quit, kind of, and just, you know, gave it up. So if you realize that you're trying to become familiar with a crazy mind, that's becoming familiar with your mind. You're trying to become familiar with a mind that's angry at a moment, that's becoming familiar with your mind. So it's okay. Does that make anybody kind of excited? Yeah. He's like, yeah. Yes. It's... Yeah.
And then she had a couple of suggestions that each one of what you could do to work through it and get past it in your meditation.
The antidotes. She talked about attachment and hostility, that you go back to the past and grab a moment of hostility about your boss. Dadgum, you know, you get... And then you go all the way to the future and you think, and tomorrow morning I got to go there again and I know what he's going to do. Story. It's a lie. So none of that's the present moment. And it brings you right back. And so so becoming familiar with what's going on is wonderful. That's not wrong. And if you're angry, that's not wrong. That's just, we're going to talk about how to help that. But give yourself the gift to say, I am meditating, even though I just can't stand it, or I don't like it, or I think it's frustrating. If you stop some of that internal dialogue, it may make you feel a little more comfortable with it. Did you have some success tonight a little bit? Ah. That's understandable. Yeah. Does anybody else have that sensation, like it's a little not interesting enough? It can be common, so we're going to, you may be somebody who wants to move, you know, try some things out that have a little more focus.
I think my deal, and I keep saying it to Larry, I just don't feel like I have a reason to want to do it until I figure out my motivation.
It's not, yeah. Like, I don't know why people run.
Well, clearly, I'm here.
Yeah, you're open to it. Yeah, I understand. I always wonder why people run when nobody's chasing them. So we all, yeah, Bob, right? Ben, okay, close. Yeah, consistently aware of now. Exactly. I mean, can you imagine if we could always be aware of now? Yeah. Right. Because. Well, I mean, it's really tricky about what that would be like. I can't say I know, but I can say that when I do plan, and that's, I organize, I do that a lot. That's why I do it for a living, because I do that too much. So when I'm planning and thinking, I'm not really accomplishing a lot that isn't going to be done anyway. Doesn't mean I'm not going to plan, but thinking about it so tightly doesn't actually help all the time. It's going to roll out, you know? So we're going to talk a lot about that. But being aware of is exactly what you're trying to do right there in the moment. So we're trying to become familiar with the positive and less with the negative. So you wouldn't want to practice an angry meditation, you know. But you might revisit something and get that feeling again and then think, how could I do it different? I do this little meditation of like take two, you know. I'm going to revisit. I didn't like how I did that, so I'm going to try it again and see if I can apply a different way. And realize there's another option. But we're trying to become familiar with a positive mind, positive states of mental states. So when I give a lecture, sometimes I talk about PMS just to scare the guys because it's kind of fun. And they all go, oh, you can see their eyes rolling in their head. And then I say it's for positive mental states, PMS. So that helps you remember that. So we're really just trying to cultivate a positive mind all the time. But it's really hard to do that in our life, so we're trying to do it on the cushion so that we can bring it into our life. So that would be, if you feel like you're getting bored, you might want to find the antidote, like, well, there's more I could do to my life, and I might have to practice it on the cushion. You know, we'll come up with some things. And then if you look around, you know, like who remembers the Brady Bunch? You guys might be a little young for that, but Roger remembers, Julia remembers. And they're all, you know, looking up at each other. So if you look around the room and you just take a sense of who's here right now in this moment, the only reason we're all here, I'm guessing, is that we want to be happier. A lot of you said that in your definition. And, I mean, that's what every single being is trying to do. The ants, the squirrels, the birds, the people, the murderers, everybody is really doing everything to try to be happy. So that's why we're here. And we're going to see if we can come up with some ways to do that. So we're very familiar with the outer world, animal, vegetable, mineral. And we're trying to become more familiar now with our thoughts, emotions, and perceptions. I'm going to look at you a lot, aren't I, and say, see, that's why we're meditating. Okay, you can deal with that. Okay. So it's really easy to know about these tangible things. Wood comes from a tree. We rely on understanding tangible things. But it can be very difficult for some people to understand those inner emotions. And it's hard to do that in the waking world when we're working. So that's yet another reason that we're meditating. This is like the sales pitch for meditating. So it helps us get acquainted with our inner world and its inhabitants and see how it all works. So what do you think inhabitants mean? Of our inner world.
Emotions.
Yeah. Thoughts. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Thoughts.
Desires. Okay. Oh, that's so positive and happy. Oh, you guys are so sweet. Anybody else got anything else that's cooking in there? Ego. Who said that? There you go. Ego. Nothing negative in the whole group. Ego.
Gremlins.
Yeah, negative thoughts. No anger anywhere with you guys. That's so great. We could just like start with phase. We'll just start at the end. But yeah, the negative stuff's cooking too, isn't it? Inhabitants. Venerable Rubina calls them roommates. And so attachment, aversion, jealousy, anger, all that, everything is in there. And you're just trying to get those guys to quiet down and get the little ones hiding under the bed. Trying to come out a little bit more. So the nice guys. The happy people that want to have everybody else be happy too. So the purpose of meditation, it's different than just simple relaxation. And if you've ever heard Geshe-la teach, he talks a lot about chicken meditation. Have any of you ever heard that? I don't think he might have referred to that in the last few weeks. But I've had a friend take that differently in a real negative way, so I want to make sure that I would never impart that upon you. He doesn't mean that just sitting there is wrong or you're bad, right? You know, he would never mean that. But it means that you want to have your meditation have a little more to it than just chilling out. Because it feels great to chill out. You know, we sat in the rocks today in the sun and it was beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But meditation is a little bit more than just relaxing. So we're going to start off by learning to relax, but we're going to take it on some deeper levels. So it has some sustenance and it can sustain you for the rest of your life should you choose to accept this. So David said something in the last session that I went to that there's no magic bullet, and I thought I'd repeat that because sometimes we want something to come in and we are just so geared to taking a pill. So it takes a lot of work to do this. He was very clear and not all pie in the sky that it's all stars and sunshine and rainbows, that it's a lot of work. And you're going to meet some demons when you start to meditate. And it gets more difficult because you're just looking at your mind and things may arise. You may leave in the middle of a meditation session and walk out, you know, because you're frustrated. But we're hopefully going to give you tools that you will be able to accomplish a more successful meditation and be happier with it. So, you know, of course, we've heard about a lot of untapped potential. How much of our brain do we use, Miranda? How much of our brain do we use? What percentage?
I'm not sure, but I think it's like around
15%. Yeah. Yeah, 15%. So we want to think about that we're going to be able to open up and utilize a lot of this potential that's within us that we've never really tapped into before because it's because we're just getting things done, chugging along. So we're going to work on that. In Buddhism, many people have meditated in different areas and different religions and different ways, but in Buddhism, so that's all we're going to be talking about, is the real purpose is to transform the mind. So we want to transform that mind, turn it around into something more positive, and decrease the negative, the harmful aspects, and increase the positive, beneficial aspects, which brings a greater peace and satisfaction. So who's heard this catchphrase around now, a lot of magazines and things, of metacognition? Have you guys heard that word? Yeah. Nope. So all it means is, I just looked it up, thinking about thinking. Yeah. Makes sense, right? Meta thinking and cognition, cognizing in the mind. So higher order thinking that enables understanding, analysis, and control of one's cognitive processes. So it's very scientific. Buddhism is not, this kind of meditation is not just, as we said, happy stars and sunshine. It really is science. You can change your brain. And I think I did that post, I was on Facebook posting for this class, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. There's a book called that. You might have heard that. But I thought, well, we're not really just discussing the brain. We're really discussing the mind. So I put, oh, change the mind, and then I follow with change the world. So if you change your mind, you have the capabilities of really affecting everybody else in there. So that would be that altruistic motivation versus just, it's okay to want to just be happy yourself, but we're trying to add a little boost to it, super new improved. And then when you practice, things adjust, and you really will feel better. I'm not going to promise, but you really will feel better. I'm going to keep her going. So, and the other catchphrase going around now is neuroplasticity. So have you guys heard about that? Do you have a sense of what that means? Very good. Regenerative nature. I didn't look up a definition, but we actually have grooves in our brain, which you probably know, for habits. And so we're trying to change those habits so that you can fill in those grooves. I get really excited when I talk about this. You can fill them in and change it. So your negative habits, your frustrations, your sadnesses, those grooves can be filled in and create new grooves for a more happy mind. And it's literal. It's not like, it's not happening in the brain, physically happening. It's very tangible and very scientific. So that's exciting news. All right, now we're just going to talk about posture, and then I'll let you ask some questions if you want. I just created this from back in my yoga days. So the 7-point posture, it is, let's see if that holds. Can you see that kind of? Emily will have to give me the first word. What's the first word? Legs. So the legs are the platform. And if you're sitting on a chair, you're still going to think about the legs being very stable. And you want to try sitting on a cushion? Good for you. And I mentioned the word gravity. I kind of threw that in there. It wasn't in the FPMT guideline. But I love to think about gravity is holding you here, whether you believe it or not. You're not going to fly off. So if you just grab a hold of that idea, sink into the gravity, you want to let the bottom half of your body, I call it chunking down. It's just just settling in. And that, I think that makes sense to most people. But can you feel that sometimes you lift up when you're nervous and then you kind of hold up? Yeah, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's like 6 inches of your shoulders drop down. So settle first in the legs. And what's next? Hands. So in Buddhist tradition, you may find that you can put your hands on your knees like this. And that's many traditions. I used to do it like this. I think that was like an energy circuit, completing an energy circuit. This is kind of good for people who have shoulders that roll in. Sometimes when I teach, I have them do that because it opens their shoulders. But in this tradition, we're going to put the right hand on top of the left hand, wisdom and compassion coming together. And the thumbs are lightly touching as if you were holding a piece of paper in between there. And you can just place them on your lap, or if you like, sometimes they say 4-finger widths beneath the belly button. But if it's depending on the length of your arms, you can just place them on your lap. So you're just creating this space like an egg right here. What's next? Arms. So the space in the arms, you actually are opening them up a little bit, and akimbo, I think, is the word they use. And this is kind of funny. The monks, they sit for a lot longer than we're going to sit. So it's mainly so you don't sweat. I mean, that's like the real intellectual part of that. But you want to have a little bit of openness so that you're not like this, because it creates heat. So you want the air to flow through your arms. Okay? Spine. So you hear a lot of times about straighten the back. So I'd like you to consider lifting the front of your vertebrae. You know, just get a picture of the front of your vertebrae, which is not really that far behind if you were to reach in. We always think of the back. So think about the middle of your body and that line of the bones, and lift them up. Yeah. And that creates the channels can flow. So if I call it your straw, if your channels, your straw is crimped when you sit in a sofa, you should hear me talk about sofas, then you've cut the energy off and you've cut the breath off, and you can only breathe from here. So if I roll all the way forward and then lift up, then the whole flow is nice and smooth and natural, not only for your breath, but Ben wanted for the breath, but for the energy to flow. So lifting up, you can think of zipping up your wetsuit. It's just train, right? Those kind of things. So lifting up, and you can even kind of lift up through, all the way through up to the head, and then arms, spine, head. So the head, a lot of times, I kind of have my chin might come up naturally if you have a tendency to do that. So you actually want to lift up through the back of the top of your head as if someone was pulling you up by a string. So instead of being lifted up in the middle or lifted up here and it kind of comes up, can you feel that if you lift up through the back, you'll smooth out that cervical collar? So you don't want to shove it back and you don't want to jut it forward. You just want to have this nice place where the head can rest comfortably. And I've even heard it explained like one of those little doggies that sits in the window, you know, or not the window, in bobblehead in your car window. And so you kind of, you don't do this, but if you were to really let your spine be loose and your head be loose, it would be comfortable instead of just locked in. And I've even seen, I think it might be Japanese, where they do a little bit of a circle so that they find out where their spine eventually kind of centers. So that might help. You can try different tricks for yourself. Mouth. So they, the Buddhists put the tongue on the palate, the top palate, and behind the front row of teeth. That's another really intellectual thing, so you don't drool. I love that. And it's supposed to keep you from getting too thirsty. So you can try that out. So instead of just letting your tongue hang out or just be loose in the mouth, yeah, it's a good representation. You just put it onto the top of the roof of your mouth. And then you don't clench your teeth, obviously. You can even have your lips slightly parted. Are eyes on there? Good, okay. So eyes, mostly I've closed my eyes for this whole time, so I find it difficult to open them because I've created the habit of closing them. But since you're new, it would be kind of exciting to try having your eyes gently open. So you'd want to look at an angle about like, I think that's about 40, or like what would that be, 60 degree angle? Looking down? 45. And so as you see, the Buddha has a slight gaze down, look down like that. And His Holiness talked about you look over your nose, and then he just laughed and laughed because it depends on the size of your nose. He really thought that was quite funny. So you just gaze over your nose and try it. Since you're new to it, see if it works for you. You can also change. So if you get sleepy, you might want to open your eyes and let the light in. And if you get too overexcited and your mind's crazy, you might want to close them so you can play with that. Roger.
You advanced into picturing the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture something with your eyes open?
Oh, wow. Have I ever thought of that? Since I don't open my eyes. Yeah, I would imagine, of course, duh, because he's probably good at that, so. I'll answer that. Yeah, so, and it would be a real soft gaze, you know, a real soft gaze. You're not looking at anything, but you can just play with it and see if it works for you, and anything's okay. So is that it? Eyes are the last one? Okay, so that's the 7 point. So we've covered those things. So I want to show you the Vajra position. If you want to, it's most people would be crazy to do it, but the Vajra, just so you know what they mean when they say Vajra, is all the way on top. And so that would be like traditional. Now, I don't know anybody who does that. I could do it just for a little bit, but I would be like, that's all I'd be focusing on. So I wouldn't be focusing on breath or cars or anything. So that's Vajra. So after that, you can do one. And that's not many people do that. After that, you can do the heel right into the groin and the other heel right in front. Or you can kind of do crisscross applesauce. Only reason I don't do that is because it kind of cuts off the energy and your foot can go to sleep. So here's an important thing about the cushion. If your leg falls asleep and your feet fall asleep, I've learned finally it means that you need to get your butt higher. Because I like to sit a little lower, like on a square when I'm more comfortable, but then my knees are too high and it does cut off the circulation. So you can also pop your butt up higher. Then you can sit on something a little bit higher and then put one more little thing on that, and it'll push up the back of your spine. But it does depend on the tilt of your spine to whether you need to do that. But you do want to try to have your knees lower than your hips. Oh, and I forgot, I stack the one foot on top of the other. I forgot about that one. That's what's most comfortable. There's a little knot, you know, the bone here, and it fits into the spot right there. Okay, now let's, and when you're sitting on a chair, for the talk, it's fine to lean back, but when you actually do meditate, you'd want to lean away from the back of the chair and sit just like we're sitting with the spine, so you do not use the back of the chair. Is Barbara doing that? It looks as if she is. Good. Space. Good. Mm-hmm. So it's about the energy flow. So if you slouch, the energy would be crimped. It's supposedly the knees down and everything is real stable. And if we were imagining that we were going to do this the rest of our life and increase, then it would be the most comfortable way. You can also lay down on the floor. Do you lay down? I just get so sleepy when I do that. But it's certainly people that come in my studio sometimes lay down, so it's perfectly fine. Yeah. The reason is because when you think about creating a habit, you would create the habit to always fall asleep when you meditate, and then every time you tried to meditate, you would fall asleep. So in that way, it might be frustrating for some of you for me to say this. If you practice meditation to go to sleep, then you actually do train yourself to go to sleep when you meditate. I know. She's like, oh, no. So maybe I'm making this up, but you could maybe try one thing that you do when you want to go to sleep that's different than everything else you do. You know, it's something different. You could play, you know, some music or something. But I do know that I would get so sleepy in Shavasana and yoga. And so every time I lay down, we are just trained animals. We just do whatever we train ourselves to do. So that's the reason we have a nice stable position, so the energy is flowing freely like that. Any questions about this posture? Nothing? Okay. So just a simple definition of mindfulness and concentration. Concentration is to set the mind on one thing without distraction. So we've kind of touched that, like counting the breaths. And then there's many more things, like you might find, you might learn that people might use an entire tanka or a holy object to meditate on, and that would be a very concentrated meditation, trying to recreate every piece and part in your mind. So there's many ways. We're going to be starting with the breath as concentration. And then mindfulness is the inner awareness that Ben said mentioned, an observation of the stream of consciousness, thoughts, emotions. So it's like the bare attention that we're going to do next. We haven't done that yet. So mindfulness is the inner awareness. And then you would want to, what we're trying to do is learn, hopefully, that what we learn on the cushion we can take into our life so that when we are with another person we care about, or maybe when we don't care about, that's really when we need it, that we're more mindful. So that's what we're learning for. Okay, let's try another. Anybody have anything else they'd like to ask or comment on? Okay, so the bare attention meditation, we'll do that one. I don't think I'll explain. I think we'll just, it's all written out nice and clear, so we'll just do it. Bare attention. Bare attention. Not B-E-A-R. Just don't think of the bare necessities. So B-A-R-E, bare attention. So now find your place again that's nice and comfortable. And if you have crossed your legs in one way, if you want to switch it, you can do that too. You know, change up a little. Shake your legs out. Okay, here we go. Find a quiet place and ensure that you will not be disturbed. We've got that here. Sit comfortably with your back nice and straight. Again, begin to focus your attention on your breathing. Breathe very naturally. Using one of the breathing meditations you've already learned, which would be counting the breaths, and you can count 1 to 10, 1 to 21, or 1 to 10 and backwards, whatever you feel comfortable with. Move into that by yourself, counting on the inhalation. And let this breathing and this focus on the breathing settle your mind. Bring bringing it to a state of deeper focus and concentration, helping you to be ready to engage in meditation. Create your altruistic motivation again. Think that you are not just meditating for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time to meditate and develop your mind to become a wiser and kinder person, able to be of benefit to all beings. Start by focusing your attention at the opening of the nostrils. Pay attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You can feel certain sensation as the air passes. Not following the air into your body or out, but place your attention on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. And now think of yourself as a gatekeeper, just watching the breath flow past as it enters and exits the body. Keenly observing everything that arises in this area of focus. In the beginning, if you find it helpful for concentration, you can mentally note in, out, in, and out. Let that be all you have to do. Breathing in, breathing out. Use your breath as an anchor for your attention. If your mind is distracted or scattered, place more emphasis in your meditation on the element of concentration, focusing your mind more firmly on your breath. Distractions are very normal. Your attention may be distracted by a thought, a sound, a sensation, maybe a pain in your body or an itch. Just let it be there. As soon as you wake up to this and realize that it has happened, simply take note, such as thinking or sensation, my knee, my back. Don't get upset or disturbed. Don't judge. And very gently disengage from the thought or the distraction and return your attention to the breath. When you gain a deeper level of concentration and focus, then loosen your concentration slightly and place greater emphasis on the element of mindfulness in your meditation. Allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless what it is. Don't identify with the mental elements arising. Simply observe them like a tourist. allow them to arise as you observe them and then pass away without getting involved in the story. Just simply be aware. As you gain greater mastery over this kind of meditation, each time the mind wanders from the breath, begin to note specifically how and where it has wandered. To the thoughts of the past, to present thinking, fantasizing, planning. What kinds of thoughts tend to attract the mind's attention? And then what does this indicate about the delusions that play a role in your life? And now dedicate all the positive energy you've created through the practice of mindful meditation to becoming a better and better person who is more at peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. Not so bad. All right. Class one, not so bad.
If you're noticing parts of your alignment, kind of adjusting, is that the same as letting your mind be distracted?
I think so. I think so. You know, it's just you're back. Mm-hmm. I do that all the time. Like, whoop, there we go, lift up. So you can just sit up without, eventually you don't need to have any dialogue about it. You'll just sit straighter. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Roger?
I've seen on National Geographic or something, a monk, when they were meditating, they were actually leaned over a little bit.
They do, don't they? I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
They seem like straight up. They actually marched.
Mm-hmm. You know, were you watching them actually meditate or just in a teaching?
They were showing off, what they did is they put wet sheets.
Yeah. That's so famous, isn't it? Yeah. They dried the blankets. Mm-hmm.
But they were actually crouched. I think one of them was even walking a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they move a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know Geshe-la teases about we're really good at sleeping because, you know, they're so modest, so they talk about being able to perfect the art of sleeping while they meditate, and he's joking all the time. He's joking about it. But,
So is it bad to crouch a little bit, or not?
Well, you know, we wouldn't want to use a bad or good on it. It's just that you really are trying to have that energy flow nice and freely.
Okay.
There might be a difference in literally bending over than maybe leaning in a little bit. You know, maybe. Maybe.
Is that when they were trying to generate heat? Then maybe they're not doing the things like keeping their arms away from
the mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah.
That posture is different for helping
yeah. Them. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, how was that? How was that for people? Did you find that it got a little bit more intellectual about how was the gatekeeper? That's what I was curious about. It's interesting, isn't it, being the gatekeeper? You quiet people in the back, anything? Is it good? Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You really can do. Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do. I think I'm just thinking like if I did this for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, that might get. I notice blood does run to my hands after when you really do some long meditations, so that might make that worse. I couldn't say for sure. What I generally think of is I trust that thousands of years old might as well try it too. But you can try it on your knees too. Yeah, and you can open your hands. It's kind of good in the beginning. You know, I see what you're saying is like you want to do something so that it's going to stay with you. But try different things when you're first starting out because you got time to experiment. Yeah, this is kind of weird at first. But I can tell you just a second that when I started, I thought that was really because I mean I'd spent 20 some years doing this, so this was really odd for me. But I just decided I was going to trust what they said, and now it's like so completely natural. So I think you could extrapolate from your life that things always feel a little weird at first, and then if it stays uncomfortable, then you can change it. Mm-hmm. Roger. Yeah, that's that's like the Buddha touching the earth. Yeah, there's a simple. Those are all symbolic for certain things, because they may not. I wouldn't say or not whether they're in a meditative pose, but you know, they're symbolic for certain types of Buddhas. Good. So, what it says to do is to do this whole thing over again, and then see if there's a difference. But you've had practice doing it, so we'll try it all again. And see if you know. We'll see if you notice different parts. Sometimes, do you have a tendency to check out, and your mind doesn't even hear half some of the things? That's what I usually miss like a 2/3 of it, and then go, "Where were we?" So, try it again. Okay. So let yourself be comfortable. Move into the 7-point posture. Letting the bottom half of your body sink down. I like to focus on the bottom half sinking down into gravity, and then the middle, from the middle of the vertebrae up, you kind of find a gentle lift through the back of the top of your head so that I feel like I'm being elongated and have a nice stretched out spine. Tongue placed on the roof of the mouth, eyes soft, open, gently open or gently closed. Hands relaxed, arms away from the sides. You can also make sure that you're not tightening your belly. Sometimes that's a natural state, so make sure you're breathing nice and deep from your belly. Shoulders away from your ears. Move back into counting your breaths. Encourage your motivation again, that not just for your own benefit, but you're taking this time to meditate for these next few minutes, simply to develop your mind and become wiser and kinder to benefit all beings. Again, start by focusing your attention at the opening of the nostrils. Paying attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. The air passes through, the hairs move, cool sensations and warm sensations. train sensations. Not following the air into your body or out, but placing your attention on the sensations associated with the breath right at the opening of your nostrils. And again, think of yourself as the gatekeeper, just watching the breath flow as it enters and exits the body, keenly observing. So while you're very relaxed, there's a part of you that is rather alert, observing everything that arises in this area of focus. If it works for you, you can, in your mind's eye, say in and out, breathing in and breathing out. Let your breath be your anchor for your attention. This is your element of concentration. All of your energy is placed firmly on your breath. If your mind is distracted by a thought or any sounds and sensations, let it just move away from that with no judgment back to the breath. You might label the thoughts to let them go. See them playing out on a screen. Never getting upset or disturbed or judging. Just very gently disengage from the thought or the distraction and return your attention back to the breath. And then when you go a little deeper, you can loosen your concentration slightly. And now place your emphasis on the element of mindfulness in your meditation. Allow your mind to be attentive and observant, regardless what's coming up. And practice not identifying with the elements that are rising, or the emotions, or the thoughts. Just observe them. Allowing them to arise, giving them permission to arise as you observe them, and then letting them pass away. Without getting involved, just being aware. As the mind begins to wander, if it does, take note how and where it wandered. Did it go to the past? Did it fantasize in this present time? Did it plan in the future? What are the thoughts that attract the mind's attention? And what does this indicate about our own delusions in our life? Throughout this evening and tomorrow and this week, check whether or not you're being mindful. Do you always know what you're doing while you're doing it? Meditation is not an isolated activity. It is an integral part of our lives. Now again, we'll dedicate all this positive energy sitting here. You've created it through the practice of mindful meditation to become a better and better person who is more at peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. Nice. Better? No. Isn't it different?
I was counting my breath.
Oh, I love that 56. I think I really noticed in here, we usually do like three or four, that one would just be like blissed out and the next one could be really agitated. So has anybody else had that experience where they're very different? Yeah? Yeah, it's interesting. So that's just the mind working through stuff, like dreams, you know, work through things, just cooking something in that moment. It is kind of funny. It's good that you can laugh about it, because 56 is kind of zany, isn't it? Were you shooting for 21 or 10? That's funny. I like the kind of going backwards, because you have to be a little bit more mindful to count backwards. So I find that I can't multitask quite as much when I do that. Any other experiences you'd like to, or questions you'd like to ask about? Everybody's so calm now. They're like, no, I'm good. You guys look really relaxed. I do a little bit of that. Good. Yeah. You were still, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I was rocking a little bit, and then the best. What's the greatest
strike for you? You found a little anchor that works for you, yeah. That's good. Well, the... Oh, did you get a little tingling?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. They usually say when... It could be your chakra up here cooking something. You're bringing information in, right? It's good to notice that there's sensations. I had a lot of unique things happen, like everyone. I like to tell people, because I think it's not important. The main thing is it's not important. Throw it out. But it's fun to notice that different things happen, like my whole leg might disappear. Gone. Not numb. That happens a lot. But like body parts would just vanish. And then the distance, I felt like my hands were a mile away from my chin. And so they say those are just simply experiences that mean that you're just getting more and more relaxed, that there's nothing to judge or worry about or get excited about, but to notice that you are going through different experiences. So you might all of a sudden hear a sound really loud, like a clock ticking might sound like tick, tick, like the Twilight Zone, you know? And the train feels like it's going to just mow you over when it comes. So I don't, you know, you never know what all those things are about. Yeah. We are not. We're not going to cover that in here. We don't. Yeah. You can do a lot of investigation in that, though, online. Probably.
I read about it in the book, but it gets really complicated.
Yeah.
Loaded,
yeah.
Then the wheel of the chakra, it got really complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't talk about that too much in Buddhism, but it's we mention it, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As you, or? Exactly, that's a good question. It's typically what you'll see is even in advanced retreats or something, they'll always just say something like, bring your attention home with your breath. So it's a way to just, once you become so familiar with it, it will become your anchor, and you'll always just kind of start with that. But then you might be doing an analytical or review or, you know, single point of concentration. So, yes, I would say it's always going to be just a little part of it. Sometimes it's the whole thing, but it is a way to teach yourself to anchor it. Is it a little difficult for you? Yeah. We're going to learn 9-round breathing, if you've referred to that before. We're going to learn, there's all different kinds of things we're going to go through. But the breath is definitely one, because we're right at 8:30. But when I do teach, I talk about you can go without food for a very long period of time. We usually talk about it like a month or something. And with water, like a week, you know. But breath, how long? And you're dead.
3 minutes.
Yeah. Dead. Oh, that's good. I'm going to add that. But yeah, you're like gone. So I like to get involved with what's behind the breathing in my classes, because it shows you how important breath is. And then when you can learn to breathe deeper, you actually will feel a little bit better, because you'll be getting oxygen simply to the brain. It's pretty simple. Feed the brain, yeah. So the breathing will start to feel pretty good. And if you noticed when I mentioned soften the belly, did any of you realize you were holding your belly? Because I was right there like, oh, I just tighten that up. So it's important to let that be kind of soft when you're breathing and breathe through. So I do want to say you can look up your homework. It's online, right? There's a handout. So then you are very encouraged to try. I'd like to encourage you to think about 100% commitment is actually a lot easier than 95. And the way I refer to that is if you got married and your husband said, I'm going to just be like 95% committed to you. Are you good with that? So, you know, just 5%. Just going to put somewhere else. So you might think about the fact that if you give it your all, you'll benefit so much greater than if you just try it partially. So try the best you can to do, and really just do 5 minutes is fine. Sit down, raise your motivation, breathe, dedicate, and end. And get up. Always get up so that you like the cushion. Never get up so you're going, oh, my God, I don't want to do that again. So make it nice and short. Set an egg timer. Set your smartphone to something pleasant. And just try it all week long. Pick the ones that work for you.
Is the homework close to the calendar?
I think you go to spiritual program probably. And it would be under then Meditation 101. I'm thinking it's going to send you right through. And it might be linked to the calendar. And then It is helpful if you find a spot in your home. So I will be asking you next week if you did that, and anybody can volunteer.
Is there any particular, I know some people like Facebook
more. No. Mm-mm. I don't know any feng shui about that. There probably is some more benefit, but I don't actually know about it. But if you just dedicate a little spot, whatever it is, a very simple little spot somewhere where you can actually be private and quiet, then you'll find that you'll kind of crave the desire to go to that spot if you had a good experience. And then that's what you're trying to do, is make a change. So to change, you have to kind of make a change in something physical. You might have a shawl that you use to wrap or put on your lap, you know, something that's going to be special to that spot. So just try it out and see if you can, even if you're just using living room cushions and whatever you've got, rolling up a blanket or something, but try it out. And then we're going to talk about your successes and your problems and difficulties and happiness and all that next week. Does that sound good? Anybody got anything else? Yeah. Oh, yeah, online at the Canopus Center website, and then look under, I'm pretty sure it's called Spiritual Programs, and then there'll be all the different classes, so you'll click on Meditation 101, and I'm thinking it'll take you straight to handouts. And you'll see it pretty, the bottom of the page. Yeah, it'll be pretty clear. So it'll have, I think it has class 1, class 2. Yeah.
Yeah, the handout.
Mm-hmm. And we did 1, 2, 3. We did bare attention and the counting of the breaths and
probably about 20 pages.
Scanning the body. Yeah. Yeah, you can read them online. But if you've got this special place in your house, you can... You know, you could get it on your smartphone, too, and take it in there. It is funny to do it when you're trying to read it to yourself. Because you're like, focus your attention on the lower part of your body.
I know what you can do.
Where the contact meets the earth. So,
your voice
yeah.
On the phone.
That's really a better way to do it. It really is, because it's very difficult to do that. But, I mean, you know, basically, you know what you're doing here. So don't get too involved in the words and just count your breath. So you can read the motivation, the dedication, but you know, you guys know what you're doing here. So make it real simple and real comfortable. Good. You guys were very engaged. I'm very happy. The last class was so quiet. So thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being with you tonight. Okay. Have a nice evening. You should sleep quite well tonight.